Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, I, Nick, your host and master, introduce Sylvester Stallone in Cobra. Now, this is a reboot, sort of, kind of, on the original book that led to Beverly Hills Cop, so Stallone is directing himself to be funny, so that goes as well as can be expected. Well, this is a fun, silly, stupid movie, and I'm glad you're here to join us. Please subscribe if this is something you're stumbling across. Please review if you've been here for a while, and frankly, join the Patreon. There's extra episodes and stuff there. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we visit Sylvester Stallone's writing credit, Cobra. I'm Nick Hoffman, host of Myopia, and I guess Riff Runs Center Prom. On panel, we've got
Adam. Glad to be back.
Hello, you're the disease, and I'm Daniel, contributor to Popdos, and I'm the cure.
Author Matthew W. Quinn, who is going to be selling books at Toylanta in Marietta, March 19th through 21st, so come on by.
All right, well, so we are talking today about the canon movie, Cobra. This is a Stallone just, yeah, what do you got?
Is that film canon?
Yeah.
Sorry. Indeed
it is, indeed it is.
Stallone in his prime.
This is fantastic. And this is 1986, so, I mean, this is Stallone, pretty much. This is the power 80s where, I mean, they put out a movie like this every 6 months, pretty much, right?
Jeez Louise. I think Brigitte Nielsen, his girlfriend at the time, is the only person taller than 5.5 feet tall in this movie.
Yeah, this is a tiny town movie. It's kind of crazy. But, yeah, so, I mean, this movie is filled with... Well, I guess we could start with where this movie comes from. Do you know the story of where this comes from?
It's Beverly Hills Cop, right?
That's correct. Stallone was supposed to star in Beverly Hills Cop. He turned it down, and then, of course, Eddie Murphy made it not only the biggest thing ever, but kind of started the genre of the comedy action movie.
Yeah.
And it was based on this book, sort of, kind of, even though if you watch Beverly Hills Cop, it's nothing like this. But, you know, I mean, but that's how these books become movies, right? And then Stallone's like, can do it. And so not only did he write a script based on the same book, he demanded to the author that he gets listed as a co-author on the book.
Oh, good lord. Wow, the ego. How big that head is.
It's something. I mean,
it's bigger than the biceps or smaller than the biceps?
I mean, his head looks terrifying in this movie.
I mean, yeah. He's a bobblehead.
He is all like... His face is starting to roid out. Like, this is the end of handsome Stallone and turning into monster Stallone.
Oh, yeah. If you ever see Rambo 3, he's terrifying in that movie.
Demolition Man, he looked terrifying, but here he looks vaguely human.
Yeah. Oh, to bring it back to Beverly Hills Cop, Brigitte Nielsen was one of the villains in Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yeah.
I have never seen that movie. Was it good?
Very good. Almost as good as the first one.
Oh.
I mean, those movies are just stupid fun, right? Yeah. Like, and they have actual jokes. He keeps making jokes in this. No one is responding to. It's very weird.
But he's laughing internally. Well, you can tell.
Gene Wilson is laughing, but only because if she didn't, then Stallone would have been mad when they got home.
Yeah.
Well,
a lot of people are laughing watching how ridiculous this movie is.
Yeah, no, it's not intentionally funny. It's very unintentionally funny.
So I guess like Beverly Hills Cop, they infused it with comedy after getting Eddie Murphy, a comedian, I'm guessing.
Right.
And then Stallone was like, no, we want something serious and darker, so he went with Cobra.
And it's something, and like you alluded to, this originally had an X rating, and there were 40 minutes more footage or something.
Yeah,
there's like a 120 minute work print out there, I think.
Yeah, it's like 2 hours and 10 minutes long. They cut out all the gore, because if you notice, the kills seem kind of cut down, and it was originally receiving an X rating. And they also had, I'm sure that everybody watching wanted this, more character development for Cobra as well.
Well, this movie is an incoherent mess. So they must have cut a lot more than just blood.
They didn't have a lot of... I don't think they had a lot of faith in this movie. I think that's why they cut it so short.
I think Cannon had a lot of faith in it because it was starring Stallone, so they know they'd make money.
That's fair.
Well, and let's...
And they made a lot of money.
That is the Cannon bread and butter, because a movie less than 100 minutes... You can show extra times a day, right? And that's their whole game, right? Because even that Over the Top movie, which is also Stallone, which came out maybe the year after this, around the same time, it's like 78 minutes. Like, it is so short. Which...
Well, I mean, that was an arm wrestling movie, right?
It is the best.
This is at least trying to be a Dirty Harry knockoff, which requires a little bit more.
This is a Charles Bronson movie. Which is also canon, but like every day of the week he's like, blammo. Like, that's what...
Did Cannon do those Death Wish movies with Bronson?
Not the first one, the rest of them.
Yes. All of the 2, 3, 4, and 5?
Yes.
Jesus. That's why they made so many of them.
Just things keep happening to that poor man over and over and over again.
Oh no, I have a girlfriend. Blammo. Like, it's just...
My daughter's been kidnapped. Blammo.
Again.
Again.
Yeah, I mean, it's the fucking Taken movies, right?
I don't know... who you are, but I have a certain set of skills. Blammo.
No. I have no skills, but I've got this gun. Just Fred Kersey? Is that his name? He's an architect.
Paul Kersey, yes.
And he's just an architect who happens to be good at killing. Really good at killing. At least then he's completely extrajudicial, right? He's a vigilante.
Yeah.
Here, Cobra's just... He technically is a cop? I don't think he even shows his badge at one point. I think
not once.
He's part of something called the Zombie Squad, which
I don't even think he has a badge.
Yeah, so he's part of the Zombie Squad. He's going to deal with serial killers or something.
They say early in the movie to call the Cobra after that guy takes a bunch of hostages in the local supermarket.
Yeah, we have a grocery store shootout, which is a pretty great set piece to start this movie.
After a bizarre credit sequence where it's like a weird angle shots of the Axe Cult and then cut to the guy riding against the red sky, and this is just so bizarrely
shot. Everything was red.
It is Terminator. It is like, it is nonsense.
The weirdest part of that credit sequence was Cobra like reciting crime statistics for 1986.
Oh my god. There's someone raped 250 times a year in America.
250 times a day.
I didn't come here for this.
That's right. It's like
there's an armed robbery every 11 seconds.
A Godzilla attack every 3 months. It starts out there's someone who is robbed every 11 seconds. And it just shows him like rubbing a gun slowly.
He ain't with a Cobra on it.
They totally rip off James Bond and have, you know, the gun aimed at the camera.
Oh, there's this. The second Dirty Harry movie has. I think he aims the Magnum at the screen, they only show his hand, and then he fires the gun. So they kind of like stole the shot from a Dirty Harry movie.
I don't think that's the only thing they stole from Dirty Harry in this movie.
Yeah, not the only thing, yeah.
Well, I mean, we keep saying he wrote the script. The rest, it's just script pages from other things, including just like car chase, which must be 4 pages of script. And then another 10 pages of script.
The unintentionally hilarious car chase. I mean, the only thing that makes sense in that is they had one of their cultists attack the cop and who had the mole with him to throw off suspicion. The rest of it is like, we'll get to it.
It's got every car chase trope you'd ever expect in a car chase. It's the most car chasey chase ever.
It's a combination of the French Connection and bullets.
Well, yeah, so really without dumb. Any of the skill.
I was thinking French Connection, yeah.
And he's chasing people with the one witness he's trying to protect in the car with him.
Also, how come that opening supermarket scene, how come the guy only shoots the carts and the vegetables?
Yeah, he shoots somebody. He shoots the guy.
He shoots that one guy. Yeah, who runs away. Yeah.
And I think he shoots somebody early on to start the rampage.
Oh, okay.
Everyone else just panics and runs.
There were specific moments where he only shot the cart. When there was no one around, he just shot the cart.
And those cans!
Cans. He hates these cans.
Yeah. More cans! And then it's, you know, Steve Martin, like, trying to clear
everything away. Steve Martin comes out dressed like an old gas boy. Yeah.
It's just great, stupid movie.
I don't disagree, but we should actually explain, I think, what happens to this movie. Adam, I know you're a guest here. Do you want to give the plot synopsis?
Oh, is there a plot?
Not really.
Not really, but...
Oh, Cobra, the world's most badass cop, gets in the mix when a woman witnesses a murder from a cult of serial killers who sling axes. And basically, Cobra comes into the mix, has to protect this witness, and murder all of the cult in the process.
Right.
Did we mention that the witness is,
Brigitte,
like, Yeah, it's like one of the biggest supermodels on the planet.
Yeah. Brigitte Nielsen.
When I think it's the cameraman gets killed.
Yes.
She witnesses it.
Oh my God.
That's a second witness. Because the first time was someone in the overpass. Then they try and kill her and kill the cameraman.
Right. Did well, the cameraman was like trying to totally be a Joss Whedon figure. It's like, hey, I just took your picture and just made you look all sexy around those robots. Have dinner with me.
I'd be crazy to not want to sleep with you. If you don't do it for me, do it for your career.
That's dialogue in this movie.
Do it for your country.
I mean, and he looks like Chris Nolan the whole time. It's really pervy and something. And then, like you said, there's an axe fight in the garage. You know.
Did they credit Bridget Nielsen's wig?
I mean, it gets a co-star credit. It is. It's all epic. Over the place.
By the end of the movie, it's all over the place.
I think her beret deserved credit over her wig.
Yeah. This was like peak beret. Like, this is 2 years or 4 years before Batman Returns, and like that's a world class beret.
Mm.
Michelle Pfeiffer's wearing a beret or whatever. We hit Batman 89. I mean,
great beret movies.
Red Dawn. I mean, shit.
I mean, what are we even talking about? Yeah, but I mean, so throughout this whole thing, Marion Cabretti, the Cobra.
Wait, his first name's Marion?
Yeah, it's a plot.
I mean,
point. That's
hilarious. Plot is strong. Plot is what Marion. Your mom also happens to have the name Martha.
It's a joke about John Wayne because his real first name was Marion.
Yeah, and it's like, it's crazy to have an effeminate name. That must mean you're gay or something. Which is kind of what's happening.
Yeah, this is like the boy named Sue, the gun edition.
Yeah,
I would say so.
In the Shel Silverstein story, there is also guns.
Oh, okay, this one has more.
That's true. 70% more guns than Shel Silverstein. It's on the poster.
That was kind of a trope in a lot of like old movies and TV shows. Like, if a guy had a feminine name, it was like a joke that they added into the plot for things.
Oh no, there's a lot of gay panic. There's so much gay panic.
Well, that's why Brigitte Nielsen is in the movie.
Yeah, to hetero it up a bit.
I'm straight, I promise.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in that man who's twinkie shaving all the time.
I'm gonna give her the cobra.
That's right. The cobra is my penis.
Yeah, because I have unresolved sexual tension with Kirstie's dad from Hellraiser, who thinks I'm out of control.
Oh god. Dude.
Oh, Andy Robinson. Yes, he's in this movie. He is also
in Dirty Harry.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he was the Scorpio killer in Dirty Harry, and here he's like the. He's not the chief of police, but he's like a
detective guy, like
Cobra's superior.
He's Cobra's Newman, is what right. He is.
Yeah, because I'm not sure if he can actually order him to do things, but he can certainly antagonize him constantly.
Again, I want the prequel to explain why they have this unspoken rivalry.
Why any of this? The thing about Stallone is it seems like every first movie he does, he's trying to set up a series.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right? Like, and I know this is like an 87-minute nonsense movie, but it's like there could also be a world where there's 8 Cobra movies.
Right? Yes.
they were trying to get a Cobra sequel going, and Stallone to this day is still trying to either do a TV show or a sequel.
The Cobra Beyond. I'm going to be old and retired, and there's a young Cobra that I'm training to kill people for no reason.
Son of Cobra.
I heard at one point the guy who did the movie Drive with Ryan Gosling wanted to do a remake of Cobra.
I think that might have been a thing. I know that Ryan Gosling, he put the toothpick in his mouth in Drive because of this movie, Cobra. Yeah. He always has a match in his mouth.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Ryan Gosling apparently just grew up on Stallone movies. Fun little story, because I'm obsessed with Ryan Gosling. apparently he watched Rambo a lot as a kid, and he got in trouble in first grade for throwing knives at kids on the playground that he put in his backpack. Fun fact.
Well.
But yeah, I think Nicholas Winding Refn, the director of Drive, was considering toying with a Cobra remake.
So it would be a sequel where I play an old guy, and our cover is that we own a tea shop. It's called Cobra Chai.
And is Michael B. Jordan the guy that's being mentored as the new Cobra?
Michael B. Jordan will be the apprentice Cobra.
Yes.
Oh, dude. Little Cobra. Actually, foot and a half taller Cobra, but still.
You know, you remind me a lot of myself at your age.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, just for a second, they're making a sequel to Black Dynamite.
Really?
They did a TV show. It would be great
if his white partner was Cobra. Right? Michael J. White and Sylvester Stallone. You're too wild, Black Dynamite.
I'd pay to see that three times.
I owned it yesterday.
Shut up and take my money.
Okay, Dynamite. This is
wow.
Dynamite.
That went somewhere deep.
Oh wow.
We already talked about the cold open. Kind of, it's a guy walks into a grocery store, a supermarket.
Walks into a store.
Yeah, a guy walks into a store with a shotgun, and then he proceeds to fire off a few rounds and take a few hostages, and the police call in the Cobra, who apparently has no qualms about killing people.
Well, and let's be clear. This is Art LaFleur, the lieutenant above him. He is Commissioner Gordon calling Batman. Like, no one else seems to know what's going on. The chief is pissed off whenever Cobra shows up.
He's always wearing black.
Don't worry, the Cobra's got this. Who? Wait, there's procedure here. And this guy's just killed 12 people. He's like, no, the day's work. And he's like, what did you do?
Cobra's like their weapon that they use. So this is like, oh, we don't want to get in trouble for any of this shit. We'll just have Cobras take them all out.
They pay him in fish heads and just and bags full of cash at the end of the month, so there's no paper trail. I don't know how those people ended up dead, press.
A lot of that opening scene has to be seen to be believed, because it's like the long take and hard boiled.
You're giving it a lot of credit.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of slow mo.
Don't compare it to a real movie.
That's right. This should only be compared to things that are shown in, like, starting on Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock on TNT. Like, that's what this is. Like, you've heard of The Fugitive, but have you heard The Wanted Guy? Well, we're gonna watch it. Guess what? Sven-Olli Thorsen is in it for some reason. Like, that's what this is. This is just a slightly better one of those. It also could have used the dad from Family Matters for no reason as the cop on the street.
Because John Bell Johnson,
he always played cops after Die Hard. That was his thing.
That was his thing. Like, nice guy, fat cops. That was his bread and butter.
Oh, I remember when he was a judge in It's Always Sunny.
Oh, that's right. He was. He got promoted.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it turns out the guy in the grocery store who, after a prolonged stalking sequence through the store that involves an obvious Pepsi product placement, he's part of a cult where everyone has axe and skull tattoos.
And they park in handicap spots.
Which makes them bad people. You wouldn't know they were bad otherwise.
I counted 4 or 5 Pepsi product placements throughout the movie in different ways.
I mean, the branded scissors that he used to cut the pizza, for example. That's
Either way, Matt's right. The cold open is meant to introduce this cult that the Night Slasher is apparently the leader of.
The way they keep talking about the Night Slasher is kill like 20 people. I think what they're going for is that the cult that they're multiple, that they think it's one killer. It's really like a bunch of guys.
Well, that's exactly Cobra says 1,000 times and no one believes him.
Because he never explains why. Which explains why this would make a lot more sense.
They're pushing for a new world.
And again, at the end, we have no evidence of it, so it just dies with him because another chapter closed. And he's just Agatha Christie somewhere writing short stories.
I think the sequel
and
needs to be...
And then there were no cult members.
I think the sequel should be that Cobra finds out there's cult members in every state and he has to take on all of them.
There you go. Or like Taken 2, where they all come after him.
Yeah.
Or John Wick 3, where there's just a hotel of them. And he has to go.
The Night Stalkers have their own fucking society hotel.
Just like a row of them off the interstate. It's like a Marriott, a Holiday Inn, and the Night Stalkers. And then just a dude out front, like with a hatchet, and you're just like, well, I guess that's the
point. You know, on the one hand, the whole thing about the Night Slashers, within the timeline of this movie, would have been founded not even 20 years after the Manson family.
Yeah.
So that was still rather, that would still kind of make sense, but on the other hand, this was still at least, when did this come out? 86? So that's, 17 years after the Manson family murders?
Well, I mean, when's Jonestown? When's the, I mean, like, but this is clear, like Reagan-era satanic panic nonsense, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Because, again, like, this is, the cops are not fast enough. We need more renegades with guns. Like, yeah. Bureaucracy and proper procedure, that just slows us down.
And of course, we're living in a world today where we see the results of that. Oh, but at the time,
dude, Cobra is like, was canceled yesterday. Like, he is such a nut. But that's why this is a great movie.
I mean, if this movie came out now, like, all your gun activists would be like, or no, your anti-gun people would be going nuts over that movie.
Well, because he assembles a gun out of 12 super guns? Like,
yeah, I don't think that's how guns
work. No. He's a hobbyist, you see. Like, he's cosplaying a super gun. And he just has all the components and he assembles them. Like, at one point he takes out a thing of eggs. And he opens it up, and it's just the stuff to clean his gun.
Yes.
For some reason, that he keeps in the fridge, I guess.
Next to his pizza that he slowly cuts with scissors every day.
Yeah. So the pizza that is from the restaurant called Pizza.
And it's the worst fasting diet ever, too, because we see him eat once in 3 days, and it's like a bread tangle of pizza.
And he's lecturing everyone else about how they shouldn't smoke and they need to eat more fiber.
Raisins and prunes are more natural.
That's right. And you know the stuff I'm injecting myself with to look like this. Right?
One pizza lasts him 2 weeks. That's what he does. Yeah.
So we were treated to several killings before we meet the female lead who is like a third person who doesn't get killed.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, first she witnesses the murder of that one individual in the parking lot, or at the very least sees the aftermath of it.
Yeah.
So they target her, and that's the one that policewoman was part of. Yes. Yes.
Stalk, it turns out, is actually the mole.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And so then, she was actually a cop.
Yes. But her proper introduction...
Not a team mom or a neighbor.
I thought she just walked in and was just like, I'm a cop.
Her proper introduction, not Stalk, but the Brigitte Nielsen, is that photo shoot with those robots.
That is something.
Wait till you see the director's cut.
It's like a weird montage of Cobra and his partner Gonzalez like shaking down the hoodlum element. Then she's doing a bunch of photo shoot stuff, and meanwhile the Axe cultists are gathering to hunt her down and kill her because they figure out who she is.
Right.
Because they got the license plate number, and that's all they had.
Yep. Yeah,
that's true.
And we also, I mean, this movie doesn't make sense geographically. Like, everyone's just hanging out near the abandoned part of town. Because, like, she's driving away from this photo shoot, and there's, like you said, there's, like, a robbery on the side of the road, and they're out in, like, the factory district. Like, none of this makes sense. Like, the bar's like a honky-tonk on the outskirts of town, and then they're in downtown running around, and then they're back in the countryside.
Where
does
this movie take place supposed to take place?
I'm guessing it's Los Angeles, and they evacuate some small town up the highway.
I didn't get that one shot of this movie.
Because they're driving up the coastal highway.
No. It's because it's Christmas.
I thought it was Detroit.
It's Christmas.
It's Christmas, but it's sunny.
And there's no snow. So you have to be in either L.A. or Miami. Like, it's either a Bad Boys movie or it's Cobra.
See, I was confused because it's clear that Cobra lives in Venice Beach. The main action takes place in L.A., but all the car chases take place in San Francisco, so I don't know.
The car chase you're talking about, they're like bouncing up and down hills.
It's ridiculous.
Crazy. They're bouncing up and down specifically on a particularly bumpy bridge, which could never exist in real life. Like Daniel said, it so badly wants to be the beautiful, loving shots of Bullet, but they had one day and an actor who almost looked like Stallone. And that's all they got. Because, like, whenever they're driving, they don't cut to Stallone, they just show the silhouette of his stunt double. Like, even there's one scene where they're on the motorcycle and it's, like, the back of his head getting punched, and he's literally 8 inches taller than Stallone.
Yeah.
Like, easy, it turns into another dude. Oh, this movie is so choice. And nothing got a second take. Not a single thing got a second take.
I also love how all the action is like, you never see Stallone in frame with anybody that he's shooting, or at least very rarely. So he'll shoot and then like, you'll cut to this B-roll of a side of a car getting hit, and then you'll cut back to the main feed, I guess, and then the car explodes.
This movie's very jumpy. It's very like cutty all over the place.
you guys are talking about it being like cut so much. It's been just butchered. It's so incoherent.
It's cut so fast together. I wanted gorier kills, but every time something gory was about to happen, like with the night slashers or whatever, they would just... It would do this weird slow-mo thing and then cut away real quick. It was really weird.
And like, they try and kill Bridget Nielsen again and fail. So she ends up in a hospital for some reason. So one of the cultists infiltrates a hospital, kills an old woman for some reason, hides under her bed.
No, that's the actual night slasher who infiltrates the hospital. Yeah. Is the janitor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he does a Halloween 2.
Yeah.
Because like, the other thing about this is, it's also very influenced by the 80s slashers.
Clearly.
Because like, he has his favorite knife, the night slasher, that has a grip out of a Rambo movie.
He's wearing coveralls.
He's like greasly. He like has the stuff. And again,
he's sharpening a knife in the wrong direction.
We have the mother character looking over his shoulder, like again, like a Mrs. Voorhees, or it's a psycho.
He's got those Michael Myers cheekbones. Like it's insane.
It is. And I mean, again,
he looks like a cross between the Kurgan and Adam Driver.
Yeah. Yeah, I can sort of see that.
For those of you who don't know, that's Brian Thompson. He's just on Facebook, so I'm trying to Facebook friend him. It hasn't worked yet.
Nick is stalking him.
He plays the alien bounty hunter in X-Files, among other things. Like, he's a tall, intimidating dude with strong cheekbones. Like,
I didn't even realize he was tall.
Because
they make Stallone look taller to match him. So
they constantly put him in, as close to the camera as possible whenever he's in the scene with Brigitte Nielsen.
Every time.
Well, and again, like, you know he's tall because he's taller than, like, David Duchovny in X-Files. And, like, Duchovny's, like, 6'2". Like, he's a beefcake.
Sorry, what?
Duchovny.
I know. I got distracted by Duchovny here. But yeah.
Look, this movie is basically a sequence of 80s action scenes, including some of the most famous ones. I mean, we talked about the grocery store. We talked about them trying to kill Brigitte Nielsen. Can we talk about what happens when they go to the motel and then that biker gang chases Cobra?
Oh, sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and Brigitte.
The cult really does not understand the concept of throwing good money after bad. Every time they try and kill her, they lose more people and more people see them. So what we're going to do, we're going to send like 30 bikers into a small town.
To buy a whole bunch of pantyhose to wear.
To just destroy a motel.
It's ridiculous.
We can't discount the fact that this movie has the greatest poster of all time.
Oh, yeah, we should.
Oh, with Stallone standing there holding that giant fuck-off gun.
I've been wanting to see this movie for years because as a kid, I'd see the cover in the video store and it looks so fucking cool.
It does. I mean, and he's got the match in his teeth and the aviators on. And the shirt unbuttoned to his sternum and he's just like, crime is a disease, meet the cure.
It's got that famous tagline, it's crime's a disease, meet the cure. Yeah.
And I mean, it's...
It's as good as the movie. Like,
I mean, it's great. I love these canon movies anyway, so I'm a sucker for this. But this movie is just an amazing garbage dump.
Whatever.
Yeah, you're not wrong. It amazes me how much effort was put into the action scenes because they look fantastic, but it's just, it doesn't mean anything.
Stallone's got standards.
Well, I will also say that's probably how they got Stallone to do this movie so cheap, because whenever there's action happening, he's on screen for a day, and then everything else is a special effects dude who's not there. And so, like, he's not driving that car, and they don't even cut to him in the car. He's, like, in those fight scenes, it's him shooting and then a bunch of fighting from behind. So he's not even throwing those punches. Like, this movie took 3 months to film. He was on set for 6 weeks. Right? And it's just for him to yell at people. And he goes, yeah! And then he jumps on Brian Thompson. And that's it, right? You chief, you're wrong!
I didn't even know Sylvester Stallone could yell with all the roids he had in his head by that point.
Well, at one point he just opens his mouth to the side like he's having like a stroke. He goes, yeah, get out of here. And he's just like, I think... Luckily, the subtitles were on. That's all I'm going to say. Because yeah. he didn't do a second take of anything.
Oh, I highly recommend watching this movie with subtitles. You will have no idea what the fuck's going on.
Oh, well, Sylvester Stallone's the real-life Calculon. I don't do two takes.
No, and I mean, if he was directed by Clint Eastwood, the movie would be done in like 3 days. Because none of them do anything again.
Oh my God. I looked up some trivia for this movie, and apparently the cast and crew will stand by this in interviews. But Stallone was the real director of this movie. He would always take control over the actual director and try to direct scenes.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah,
like,
not for
a
second.
You know, you said that, I was like, oh yeah, no, that sounds like Stallone.
Yeah.
And especially since this is a canon director, George P. Cosmatos. It's this movie, it's Rambo, it's Tombstone. I bet you on all those movies, Stallone was the director. He just didn't have his director's
guild card. This guy directed Tombstone?
And Rambo First Blood Part 2.
The Val Kilmer movie and the Kurt Russell movie.
Kurt Russell, yeah.
Good movie.
Sam Elliott, Bill Paxton.
Oh, that's a great movie.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, great movie.
Trying to do it. I can't do Stallone.
Stallone's tough.
I'll be your Huckleberry. Got a mumble some shit, working. You know. You're going to be doing a Western without me?
I just think it's great that Stallone wrote the script for Rocky, and then he wrote the script for Cobra.
I mean, it's talk about range. That's what you're saying. Talk about range.
Versatile talent, that man.
He didn't just write the script to Rocky. He won an Oscar for writing the script to Rocky.
And that was his first script he ever wrote. Yeah.
That's right. And now everything he touches has to have a screenwriting credit for him to get that magic. Like, he goes, technically I wrote Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I mean, didn't know that, but I was like one of the seven Guardians or whatever the fuck.
I was the raccoon.
I like it.
It's getting stranger. I love it.
I love it. We need that.
Yeah, we do.
I think if he writes one of his own lines, he just wants a writing credit.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, I wrote that line. It took me like a minute or two.
That's right. You know, when I was in the Liberty Kids, I was Paul Revere, and then I improvised the whole thing. They told me to wear pants, because it's an animated show, and no one can see my penis, but you know what? I'm a method actor, and Paul Revere, no pants.
They're seeing the Italian sound. They're seeing the Cobra. It's happening.
That's kind of the whole thing about Cobra, though, is there's not really story, just set pieces, so... They escape to the motel, and then that gets invaded, and he shoots, like... at least 10 people as they're riding into the motel?
At least 10. Then a bunch more are chasing him and Bridget Nielsen in the car. And at one point they trash a barricade of several cars and set on fire. Apparently frag grenades can cause fiery explosions.
Everything causes a fire explosion. Being shot in a can of beans causes an explosion.
He blew up beans. That might make sense. You know, beans, musical fruit. The more you eat, the more you explode.
He blew up a car with an Uzi.
He did.
Yes.
And I think the metal came off the frame of the car after it exploded.
He didn't blow up a car with an Uzi. He blew up several cars with an Uzi.
And then someone shoots two tanker trucks with a shotgun, and they go up like bombs.
Well, close-range weapon, I might add. Yes.
Right. I mean, at this point, Adam Savage just is screaming, like, I got a season of the show!
Cobra shoots a grenade at one point to set it off.
Oh, dude, he literally puts a grenade, he's like, you need to go right here. And then he's sitting up in the rafters across the way like he's a fucking xenomorph waiting to strike. And people wander into the... Because it's all industrial nonsense. And they wander up and he's